There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. It's coming in peace, it's coming in joy, and it's coming in love. And what a wonderful time that will be. These are some lyrics that I borrowed from a song that was written by Cass Elliot. You may recall her. She was one of the singers of the Mamas and Papas. And I don't know how she came up with the lyrics of the song, but it really fits right in with the Feast of Tabernacles. And this was back in 1970 is when she had a hit on that particular song. And it tells of a time that is completely opposite of the evil satanic times that the world is now in. And we are in some very troubled times right now. You know, people are wondering about, how soon are we at the end? And when do you think Christ will return? Well, only God the Father knows that. So we will have to see how things play out. I mentioned to somebody a little bit earlier, God is the only one that is in charge of that, and he has his foot on the brake and also on the gas pedal. Same time, he can speed things up or he can slow things down. So we'll just have to let God work all this out. But what we are seeing and happening all around us today are some very, very evil times that are going on. It's like even with the COVID virus. I honestly believe that was a man-made bioweapon that was spread around the world. But who knows? God does. But we will see. And we are the called out ones. We are the called out ones that God has called us, and he has things planned for each and every one of us. He has things worked out because he is working out a new world for each and every one of us. And that was promised by God the Father and his Son Jesus the Christ, our Savior. And we will see all this happen, of course, at the return of Jesus Christ. But first, when Christ returns, he is going to be coming with a sword. He's not going to bring that peace right away. But in the first part, he's going to be bringing a sword, and he will begin the process of transforming this very sick world. And he will do that by putting down all of the governments of this world. And he will usher in the 1,000-year millennium, a time of peace, time of joy, and a time of love that this sick world desperately needs. And God is allowing us to see what it's like to be ruled under Satan. Satan is the ruler of this world right now. And he's allowing us to experience that so that we know for sure, as we make choices through our life, that we don't want to live under Satan's rule anymore. We want to live under God's rule of blessings and love from him. Yes, a new world is coming, and it's just around a bend. Well, somebody said, how far is that bend? Well, depends on how old we are. Depends. And looking around the room and looking at myself, the bend is probably pretty short. But it's just around the bend. It really makes no difference what age you are. Tomorrow's not promised to anyone. Things can happen, time and chance or whatever. God is in charge. He knows what he wants from each and every one of us and what he has planned for each and every one of us. But in that day when Christ does return, he will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and Jerusalem will be his capital city, his home office, so to speak. Like today, Cincinnati is ours, but Jerusalem will be Christ's capital city, and he will establish his kingdom and rule over the world, and he will summon everyone to attend God's annual Feast of Tabernacles. Well, we are already doing that. We are already called to do that, and we have been summoned through our calling. We have been summoned. He wants to work with us. He wants us to work with him. He is guiding and directing our lives right now, this very second. And all the nations at first will not cooperate. They will say, well, you know, what is going on here? You know, somebody is taking over. And the human nature is, I will resist. Well, the nations will not all cooperate. Therefore, Christ will judge between the nations, and he will rebuke many people. The Apostle Paul spoke about this human condition in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, where he said, through one man, now we're speaking of Adam here, through one man, sin entered the world. And death through sin. That is the result of sin. And thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. We are the prodigy. All of us humans are the prodigy of Adam and Eve, our physical parents. And what happened there when they brought sin into the world is filtered down through each and every one of us. We have all sinned and will continue to sin daily, but we are to repent daily. Us that have been called. Of course, most of the world is not doing that. They haven't been called yet, but God's not going to leave them out. He has them planned, of course, after the millennium through the great white throne judgment when they will be resurrected from flesh back into flesh, and they will live another lifetime, so to speak, comparable to our human life right now, because God's a fair God. He has all that worked out. He wants all of his humans to make it. Not all of them will, but that's what the plan is. And thankfully, as Paul also knew, that the breach created by man's disobedience is healed through Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 and 22, Paul said, "For since by man..." Speaking again of Adam, "came death, and by man Christ also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Now the word "shall" that is written in that scripture right there is what the word "shall" means, that it will be done. It shall be done. And the holy days, the Feast of Tabernacles, pictures a time when world peace will be right here on earth, and that will happen after Christ's return again, of course. This is when he will bring all of God's creation into peace and harmony with God. We will be thinking, as humans, all humans will be thinking in harmony with God, and how wonderful that will be. Just think the way the news portrays them every day around the world in every major city. There's all kinds of evil things going on. They are all thinking the ways of Satan. But at Christ's return, he is going to bring peace and harmony. And after, of course, he puts down all the nations and gets things worked out there. But when everyone will, this will be a time when everyone will know God's perfect laws and will live by them. Just think of what a contrast and by a comparison in the lifestyles of the sinful ways that humans are living right now. It is horrible what is happening in the way that people have so disregard for the life, the very life of another person. We are hearing more and more, I know even around the Nashville area, we are hearing more and more of just drive-by shootings, you know, just at random. Have often heard about this gang called the MS-13 gang, where for to be a member, they have to kill somebody. How horrible these things are happening. You take a look at Chicago, for example. Chicago, it's in the hundreds every week that are murdered. They're just horrible things that are going on under the rule of Satan. This feast also pictures our human life, which is very weak, and we are very, very temporary. God made us temporary on purpose. Our Heavenly Father, He made us in flesh and blood to only last for a temporary amount of time, and we all will die. But that's a good thing. That is a good thing, because to he wouldn't want us to live forever in this flesh that hurts, has all kinds of problems. We wouldn't want it either. And so it's a good thing that God has this lifetime that he has given us to learn and to be tested. That's what we are doing right now. We are learning to have the character of God, and we are getting ready to go into the spirit realm of God's plan. And we know, of course, you know, flesh and blood cannot enter into the spirit realm, so that has to be worked out with a change, and that's what will happen. In Psalms chapter 116, verse 15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Well, our short time on this physical life, again, is a time for learning God's character and way of life, and it's a time that we will all be tested. I heard somebody say one time, "Well, you know, I had a really big test about 5 years ago, and I'm sure glad that I won't be having to go through that again." They were thinking it was only going to be like one big test in their life. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. We will be tested all the days of our life. We are to endure to the end. And all that time we'll be learning God's character and we'll be tested. Because God has to know that he can trust us enough to be changed into a spirit being that will live forever. He is testing us because we have choice. We have choices that we're allowed to make, but he wants to know that we are rock solid behind him. The nations will quickly learn that their existence depends on God's blessings. You know, we depend on God for the food we eat. We depend on God for the next breath that we breathe. We are dependent on God, and even in spite of ourselves, God does bless us. But there are times that he will really humble us really, really hard. You know, we could lose everything. Things can happen to us, but God wants to get our attention. He wants us to call on him and have a relationship with him. That we are trusting and depending on him. God will give us rain in due season if we are obedient to him. And he will give us good weather and bountiful crops and blessings from God. So from this time forward, only nations that obey God will reap the blessings. In Zechariah 14:17, it says, "For those who don't come up to worship the king, there will be no rain." You know, after after Christ returns, if there's anybody that just doesn't come up and doesn't obey the summons to come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles, there'll be no rain, no blessings. They will probably be looking for food, starving possibly. Excuse me. Jesus Christ will reward the saints. Yes, he will, and he is right now. We are being blessed constantly, daily. We are depending on God, and he loves us and knows us, and we are to love and obey him. Jesus has promised to reward people who, through the ages, who have faithfully served him in Revelation 11:18, and also in Revelation 22:12, we see that the saints will have their part in his kingdom. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That first resurrection is the one that we are called to be in if we continue to choose rightly. That first resurrection will be resurrected from flesh to spirit. Whereas those that are not called right now, that will be in the second resurrection, that will be after the millennium, the great white throne judgment, they will be resurrected, like I said earlier, from flesh back into flesh. And they will have to endure and learn God's ways, they will have to make choices in their life, just like we're making choices in our life right now. Whether or not we are going to obey God, or are we going to fall back and lean on Satan. You know, Satan, you know, he is like a big transmitter that is broadcasting constantly to all humans. You know, go ahead and have the good life, have the fun times. You know, do this or do that, you'll really enjoy it, and you owe it to yourself. And just have all the fun things in life, and you can wait until later when you're older, then you can start obeying God. No, that's not the way it works in God's calling. God has called us. When I baptize somebody, or when I'm counseling somebody for baptism, I have to know that they know the commitment that they are getting into before I'll baptize them. I had a couple, a man and his wife. I was baptizing another man, and this couple walks up with their towels, and they says, "Well, you know, you just baptized this man here. Go ahead and baptize us." I said, "Mm-mm, can't do that. Can't do that." And they said, well, why? I said, well, I have to counsel with you first. I have to explain what is happening in baptism. And they kind of had a frown on their face. And so then I gave them some booklets. I sent them some booklets to read, some things. And then I called them on the phone. I said, well, have you read those booklets? And they said, well, yeah. So I asked them some questions, and they didn't have the answers. And so finally, this man calls me back on the phone, and he says, I got to ask you a question. I says, what's that? He says, are we not good enough to be baptized? I said, you're right. None of us are good enough to be baptized. I said, I have to know before I baptize you that you know the commitment that you're getting into. You are to obey God to the best of your knowledge for the rest of your life. That's what I want to hear from you, that's what your commitment is. So finally, it got through their head that way, and I baptized them, so they are doing fine right now. From the beginning of Christ's millennial reign, the faithful servants of God, including many who will suffer severe persecutions and martyrdom, will serve as teachers and administrators of that wonderful new world that is coming. They will assist Jesus in teaching the ways of peace, and the ways of joy, and the ways of love to all of the nations. This will fulfill Christ's promise to the church, where he said, To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That was in Revelation 3:21, if you want to make a note of that. I'm not going to read too many scriptures today, a few, but God has it all worked out, and he knows the end before the beginning here. And I know there's a lot of people that are wondering about prophecy, more about prophecy. I get a lot of questions about prophecy now from our congregations that we manage down in Nashville, from Murfreesboro, Nashville, and Jackson, Tennessee. Those are our main ones, and also some up in Bowling Green. But a lot of people right now want to know more about prophecy. They want to know with the way the conditions the world is going, just like the disciples were asking Jesus, when will the end come? We don't know. But we are to watch. We are to be ready, personally ready. We have to be doing what God wants us to do to be ready for when Christ does return. That's what our job is, mine and yours is. Christ does not plan to change the world single-handedly. At his return, his coming, his faithful servants will be immediately transformed from flesh and blood into immortal spirit beings who can assist him. We're going to have to be spirit beings to be able to assist Jesus Christ. We won't have to sleep. We won't have to eat. We won't have all the things that hold us back in this physical body that we live in, of aches and pains and things like that. So how wonderful that would be to get rid of all the aches and pains and as we grow older, and to be able to assist Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul explained this happening more in detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. Let's do turn there and read there. 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll start reading in verse 50 through 58. Excuse me. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall be changed. Yes, that change is what we are looking for. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise to incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying where it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, the grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made it possible. Not only died and paid the price for all of our sins, he also took on all of our infirmities. When somebody calls on us elders to anoint them, we are calling on God the Father directly, because at the very second that Jesus Christ died on the tree, he rent the veil in the temple there from top to bottom, which gives us access to God's holy throne. We are talking to God the Father, and Jesus is at his right hand. He is our advocate. And as we are praying, God the Father says, come to me boldly. Speak up boldly and tell me exactly what you are talking about, what you want. He wants us to beat our prayers into little bits and pieces to be exact what we are asking for. And when somebody is hurting and comes and needs to be anointed and prayed over, that's what they expect, and that's exactly what they should get, is for us to be diligent in our prayers for others. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No, it's not in vain at all. You know, people will say, well, you know, I was really wanting to go and work on my car this Saturday morning. No, that is holy time. Holy time from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. We are to put things away that is in this physical life and to be obedient to God in exactly what he wants us to do. Well, since Christ will establish Jerusalem as his capital city, the first people to experience the effects of his rule will be the people that will be restored in the kingdom of Israel. And so these are the people that God has been working with down through the ages is the Israelites, the prodigy of Jacob. The people of Israel will play a necessary role in helping other nations implement God's ways. A change has to come on all of the people that we will be teaching. A change that they're going to have to change the way they live. They're going to have to think differently. You know, as we are little kids, even as little babies, we learn habits. Not all of them are good. So their people are going to have to change their habits. You know, a habit is something that your brain, as a situation pops up, your brain will switch to that habit. Yeah, that's why I'll solve it. That's why I'll do it. We're going to have to change all of those bad habits in our life to the habits of being obedient to God in the way that God thinks, the way that he does things. We are going to help nations of people to implement God's ways. Once God has forgiven our sins, or their sins, Jesus Christ will begin using a humbled and repentant Israel. Humbled. You know, when we sin, there's an automatic curse that comes on you until it is repented of. Change and say, you know, hey, dear God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I broke your law. I'm sorry I sinned against you. Please forgive me. Help me to overcome that. Help me to be an overcomer for the rest of my life on all the mistakes that I make. And so a humbled and repented Israel is what it's going to take for Israel to be working there with Jesus Christ to spread the knowledge of God's law to the nations. The whole world will learn to obey God's laws. Prosperity will increase when that happens. Blessings will come. God wants to give us all blessings. And if we're obedient to Him, He pours them on us, even when we don't even expect them. But of course, when we sin, what separates us from God? It's sin, unless it's repented of. So we want to make sure that we are paying very close attention to ourselves. And if you feel like Satan is bothering you, go into instant prayer to God the Father. Dear God in heaven, please fight my battles for me. I'm only human. Only you, God in heaven, can fight those spiritual battles like that and help me to be an overcomer. Prosperity will increase, crime and corruption will cease. After Christ is returned to this earth, setting up the kingdom of God, to produce lasting peace and cooperation, a spiritual change is necessary. And that spiritual change in the people of Israel will inspire other nations to admire the way of life that they would like to live too and receive the blessings. You know, if they're not getting any rain, they're going to be searching out, why are these people over here eating well? And I saw their crops. They are getting food. God is blessing them. I think I'll take a look and see what they're doing. See how they are being blessed. Well, very much the same thing is happening right now with me and you. What is the thing that we are to be doing as Christians? We are to be setting the right example, following Jesus Christ, who is our example. Setting the right example, you know, you and I can't call anyone. In fact, Jesus Christ doesn't call anyone. God the Father does the calling. And when He sees a willing heart in someone that wants to learn more about God and be obedient to God, God the Father turns them over to Jesus Christ to work with them. And so our job is to set the right example. So other people will say, hey, they are living a good life. They are happy people. They are doing well. I want to be like them. That's the kind of seeds that we are to be planting with everybody that we come in contact with. The spiritual restoration of humanity is the most important transformation that will occur during the millennial period when the world is transformed. The spiritual transformation, that's what God wants to see happen to all humans. He created all humans with the idea that they're going to learn, but they have to choose. God is not going to force Himself on anyone. We have to choose to want God. The Spirit of God will enable people to willingly, enthusiastically obey Him from the heart. Obey from the heart. You know, our minds can lie to ourselves. Our minds will create scenarios that makes us deceive ourselves. God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart what is exactly about us. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I believe that was in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. That's what God is going to do, is in our hearts and in our minds. There's a transformation that is going to be coming on you and I. And what a wonderful transformation that is going to be. But that is the hopes that God has for all humans, whether they are going to be in the first resurrection or in the second resurrection. That he wants us to learn and to want to obey him and to be his children. That's exactly what he wants us to do. Yes, there is a new world coming. It is pictured in this wonderful Feast of Tabernacles that our Heavenly Father has called us to keep. He has summoned us to keep it. And of course, in the millennial period, Jesus Christ will summon everyone to come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And again, if they don't, they will get no rain. They will learn real quick. I need to be obeying God. For our last scriptures here, let's turn to Revelation chapter 21, and let's read verses 1 through 4. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. I know Mike Fushi there was talking about John that was seeing things in a vision. And he says here, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Verse 3 there. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Verse 4, and here is the part that I think all humans are really looking for. That all humans are, we go to a funeral and somebody very close to us has died. You know, and we are crying, we are weeping, we are mourning. And we should because we loved them. And God has made us emotional people so that we would be able to love others. But in verse 4 he says here, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." How wonderful at the time when we will shed this physical temporary life that God put us in, a time for learning, and also a time for testing, a time for choosing, a time for being obedient, a time for enduring. We are enduring the troubles of this physical life, but we are learning along the way, and God wants us to choose his way completely. Yes, there is a new world coming. New world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming, and it's coming with peace, it's coming with joy, and it's coming with love.